not even a little bit. Good evening. Welcome back. Hello, Lauren. Hello to you at home. My name is Jay Ryan. This is the Cars and Comedy Show here in the late night playset. I will not dawdle this evening. So press the bell, press the like, subscribe, do the thing you're supposed to do on all the social medias. I don't understand it. I'm an old guy, but I'm told that that is important. Good timing. Our buddy Vinny Russo is here this evening. We are very excited to talk to him in just a few minutes. Also, look who's in the chair right over there. Boy, it's dark in there. Here, let's turn some lights on. Turn some lights on. There you go. There's Vinny Russo. There's all you guys on Instagram. And all the way up in Canada is, of course, our buddy Mike. Hello, Mike. What's happening, fella?
Hey, everybody.
We are going to be talking. Screw it. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. Stay with us. Who knows what it is? It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Vinny says it's going to be great. Will, do your thing.
Is this
a PG show? Yeah, no, I don't know.
It's like Nickelodeon. Yeah. Good evening. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tuesday, April 4th, 4/4/2023.
Yeah, one day shy of Ken Block Day.
Oh, shoot. You're right.
4/3.
Yeah. Oh, man. Forgot about all that stuff. Way to break it down right at the top.
Start low. Work our way up.
That's right. Our guest is Vinny Russo. That's a good thing. I realize I'm gonna do some shit over there. All that talking. And there's a few things we want to talk about at the top of the show. One is the Marconi Museum. Thank you, Marconi Museum. Thank you to our good buddy Adam Ferrara, who for no reason whatsoever included me in that wonderful event, and I therefore included you, and so on and so forth down the line. But we're grateful to have been included. Renee Percy, by the way, a comedian that I did not know previously, is hilarious. Check her out as well as our buddy Adam Ferrara. Both very, very funny. Can't watch them together, though. Adam went to New York the next day, and she flew to Tokyo the next day. So
the show will never happen again.
Good luck finding them together again. But it was great. And like I said, I'm really, really grateful to have been a part of it. Thank you, everybody. Also to the family, too. It was so great to see Vince and Monique. And I consider him part of the family, even though he's not. Nick, who's like their AV marketing go-to guy. Anyway, great team over there at the Marconi Museum.
Also, congratulations to the official YouTube channel, the official Letterman YouTube channel, for being nominated for a Webby today.
No kidding.
Yeah. Cool. They've only been on the air a year, and they were nominated for a Webby in their first year. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Bringing our buddy up north for that news over there, the host of the official host of the Letterman podcast. Hi, buddy.
Hey, man.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have said Mike at the end there. You're probably waiting for your name. Mike Chisholm.
Still Mike, right? It's me.
I see some additions to your set there. Nice job.
It's coming. It's coming along.
It looks great. Congrats.
Thanks,
and congrats
man.
To the official YouTube channel.
I'm trying to figure out if you put a window case in front or not.
Yeah? One more time?
Still trying to figure out if we should put a window case in front of this or not.
Yeah, play with it. It's a toy set, right? Well, I mean, I don't want to, ours is. I'm not trying to, we're nuts in here, okay? Don't do what we did. We're just totally full-blown nuts. But I would say play with it for a little bit and see how you feel.
Yeah, that's what's going on. So exciting stuff. We're good hitting our anniversary this month, too. Pretty excited about that.
Oh, cool.
Say that again? I don't know why my voice got up. Say that again, Mike. This
Our 1 year anniversary is April 20th, so we're excited about that too.
Wait, for you, the Letterman podcast?
Yeah.
No. Is that right? It's been a year?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
Oh man, congratulations. I'm sorry I didn't know that. I thought like we were like 6 month mark, maybe.
No. On the 20th, so we're not quite there, but it's coming. Yeah, we've got some good stuff planned. It's good.
Oh, congratulations. That's very cool. Is that why you have the fancy jacket on today?
Full disclosure, Candy and I have an event right after this show ends. Mm. And so I changed for the event in preparation for that. So this is a preview for
the look you're going to go with tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Wearing a suit for my girl.
Do you have
tonight.
A monitor? Can you see yourself?
I can, yes.
Oh, okay.
I look dapper.
Is it intended with the one collar out, one collar in? Because sometimes I'll do that with the tongues of my shoes.
No, that wasn't intended. That's more the casual look. And then, you know, it's like the mullet except different, right? You know, so the business over here and the party over here.
I see. And I thought for a moment it was a polo shirt because of the way it was displaying, but I see now it is indeed a button down.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, can you say what the event is for?
I can. My wife was raised Jehovah's Witness, and tonight is the memorial. Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate Easter very differently than other sects, S-E-C-T-S, yeah. of the Christian faith. And they're very, it's at the same time. The moon cycles have to do with part of it. And so tonight is their celebration of that. And so we are respecting her family by accompanying her mom and other folks as well to that as well.
I'm sorry to make you say all that.
Didn't expect that answer, did you, buddy?
When you said event, I misunderstood. when we say event, we mean something outside. I had no idea, and I'm so sorry to make you share all that. Please forgive me.
Why?
Okay, all right. Okay,
hey, it seemed personal. We could have been going out to dinner.
In my mind, I thought we're going to this charity thing.
Right.
We're going to support the the blah 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 blah, or the insurance. He's a finance guy too, so they've always got
some
dinners
some,
and mixers.
Some $10,000 table dinner.
Oh, thank you, Vinny. Bailing me out. We don't get political on this show, but kind of just we almost did there for a second. Today is probably a day that will live in history.
Yes.
4/4/2023. It's weird. I have no opinion on it other than it's a day I never thought I would see happen in my lifetime, and it's wild, man.
It's I think I'm trying to figure out how to put it into words, but I think it's going to be a little interesting to see how everything ends up panning out with all of this because.
You mean out there in the world with everybody else?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be. I think we'll tell our youngins later on in life, where were you the day of, this all happening? It's like, no, I was in a studio podcasting.
Literally nothing important.
Yeah.
I remember on the insurrection, whatever they call the Capitol Day. I mean, I remember that like a 9/11. Like I'll never forget where we were, what we were doing, that kind of thing. Going holy, just watching TV. All we could do was watch TV. Going holy shit, can you believe this?
Like this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's funny because I get texts from all my friends overseas, and I just like I'll check in every once in a while. I'm like, so you guys still think we're insane, right? Like, oh yeah, absolutely. My one buddy, he's like, have you seen our like politics going on in Italy? I'm like, yeah, well, that's a whole different story over there. But like, it's there's
everybody's definitely got their own shit right now. But
I think it's the entire world is just insane on different levels and for different reasons. But like, yeah, we've all lost our shit.
Don't you think? I think that have you seen the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No.
Okay, it was the Oscar winner, and it's one that actually deserves it. It's the first time in my life I've actually seen the Oscar winner ever. 45 years old, this is the first time.
I want to see it just because of the Short Round.
For sure, right? Data.
Yeah.
But basically, I kind of, about 3 or 4 years before that movie came out, we sort of came to the conclusion ourselves of like, oh, okay, so basically everything is happening everywhere all at once. And once you kind of get that, you're no longer freaked out by everything. There's kind of like a weird acceptance that goes on.
My question is always, though, like, has it always been insane to some level? We just didn't have the technology to share how insane we all are.
Yes.
Because if you hear the stories about like the things that happened in the 1800s, like they're in their own right pretty insane.
They're way worse when it comes to like crudity, vulgarity, brutality.
They just couldn't share it like we did. So, I mean, maybe it's all word of mouth back then. Maybe this is normal, and we really don't know what insane is.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what
the premise of the movie.
The premise of the movie is sort of like the multiverse, basically, of you know, you should be living your best self because it's your choice to do so. You know, that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
A little bit of the Matrix and Back to the Future in there too. It's
pretty
cool. After
listening to all his speeches, like that's more than that's.
You're gonna make me cry right now.
Yeah. Like it's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Like.
That was so good.
We need more positive stories like that in the world. I mean, here's a guy who like just gave up and you know to an extent, and then like people around him wouldn't let him, and he had the fire, and I mean just to hear the stories. I mean, I was so fascinated by his whole story. It's. Literally, like, there aren't very many inspiring stories like that left anymore.
Not at that level.
No.
I mean, well, also, you know what? It's our generation's success story like that, too, right? Because, like, we grew up with that little kid. We grew up with Short Round because the other ones were the guy and the girl were old. And then the Goonies, like, well, we were one of the kids.
Oh, yeah. And he had some of the best lines.
Oh, man. I remember in the you call him Dr. Jones, doll. I love that.
Hold on to your potato. Pinches a pal. I mean, how many times do we...
Pinches from...
It's like, I still like the Goonies, Shawshank. Like, there's a handful of movies that come on and, like, you're just stuck watching them. Like, you can't turn them off.
Can't turn them
and
off.
And Goonies is definitely on that list.
That's a long list, though, too. My,
you
as the older
the people
I get...
that were in that movie with Josh Brolin and all the, you know, I mean, everybody
what is his name?
Josh.
close. Brolin. But
sorry.
And because he's mega famous now.
Right.
Basically, Barbara Streisand's son, kind of, through marriage.
Anyways, we're either still on track or way off track, so I apologize.
No agenda. No agenda. I told you that in the green room. No agenda. It's whatever. I do want to talk about all the things that we would normally hit with you, like some of your clients and the stuff you do with ID. Thank you again for those beautiful tires, the Bridgestone tires on that Mini. We love the ride every single time. And I mean even from the old tires to the new tires, not just that we like that car.
Bridgestone has been really stepping their game up lately. The EV Expo is coming up in Long Beach. And they're going to be releasing a new EV-specific tire for Teslas and Mach-E, and then they'll have other fitments later on. But they're starting with all the fitments for the Teslas and the Mach-Es, and it's supposed to be this new, you know, groundbreaking tire that's going to last 50,000 miles and better range and all these things. The main thing with it is going to be ride quality, because a lot of times with the EVs, the tires have to be so hard to maintain range that the ride quality really, so we're going to have a whole prior the day before the opening of the EV Expo in Long Beach, we're going to have a big press day. We've got all the cars out with all the new tires and let all the journalists take a ride and see what they think of the differences. Because, I mean, everybody's, you know, just about everybody in the automotive industry at this point has driven a Tesla in some form or another so that, you know, you can kind of educate about it. And even the Mach-E, I mean, if I know, like, you know, Matt's got one and, you know, the few that I've driven, like, they're stiff, you know. And I know they're supposed to have a little bit of a sports car feel, but they, you know, it's... I'm curious myself to see what the tire is going to be like, but Bridgestone's really stepping their game up, and Firestone with, you know, trying to get out there with your Destination Series and be part of like King of the Hammers and sponsoring that this year was the first time. And then they're doing Overland Expo coming up in, later on this year.
Oh, wow.
So the company's really there's a new...
this is kind of where they were when I was a kid. Like I remember Bridgestone being like the off-road tire, the white letter tires on all of the Jeeps and all of the like
with
the 4Runners and
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, BF Goodrich kind of took over and a lot of the other brands that, you know, weren't even around when we were younger, like the Nittos and things like that have really stepped up with the aggressive treads. But you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's, you know, Bridgestone, Firestone. I mean, the history, it's pretty neat because the displays that we built for King of the Hammers, there was a wall that had a whole history of Firestone brand. And you don't realize how influential Firestone was in the tire industry over the years. And then, you know, how they merged in with Bridgestone and became this whole big conglomerate. But, like, they've, you know, they were the first ones to do, you know, a tubeless, you know, tire. They were the first ones to actually have an air, you know, tire that, you know, that wasn't a solid rubber and all these different, I mean, these milestones that this company has been around. So it's kind of interesting. But this year they brought in a new kind of head of marketing that they pillaged from Honda. And Davis is really pushing the company, you know, both brands. And it's difficult because it's two brands, but it's the same company. So the poor guy's got to wear two hats at the same time. And us as the agency, you know, also kind of has to do the same thing. So
it's three hats really for him, right? Because he's got to have each individual, then the overall as well. Mm.
And it's,
and
you know,
same for you guys.
They have a, you know, they have a whole line, a whole separate brand that most people don't even realize that they have that does trailer tires. And commercial tires are, you know, are huge with Firestone as well. So there's there's a lot of different things. I mean, yeah, okay, you have certain brands kind of, you know, with, you know, Pirelli has traditionally, you know, stuck with, you know, the Italian brands, things like that. But if you look at like Lamborghini, the new STO that came out is on Bridgestones. And it's the first time in decades that a Lamborghini was sold new from the factory without a Pirelli tire on it. So they're stepping their game up big time.
Without an Italian tire at all, right? Right.
So wow, Bridgestone's on the STO, Bridgestone's on the Serrata. I'm going to get strung up for that one.
There's so many. I don't know how you keep them all straight these days. You and Matt and everybody else. Like Johnny Lieberman, talk to him. He's an encyclopedia.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know how everybody does it these days.
It's, you know, it's just, it's, other than you're passionate about it and that's it. Yeah.
I think I started with the magazines and I used to know all that stuff. And then at some point, life, right? 20 years of life. And then you get back into it and you're like, oh, yeah. I can't pick it up at the same rate, whatever the heck.
I pick
it up where I was way back 20 years ago. Yeah. These guys have just been going the whole time.
I mean, they literally live and breathe it, though. I mean, not that I don't either, but I mean, that is what they do. I mean, it's
yeah,
what it
you
is.
Do too.
I try.
Apple Burst, Cure Pen, Apple Burst.
That's good stuff.
Cure Pen, thanks to our friends at Chill Club.
So yeah, so Bridgestone Firestone are stepping their game up. It's gonna be a good time. And
sorry to put that donut spot in the middle of your Bridgestone. It was hilarious.
No. Well, if you want to talk all natural, Bridgestone's also going to be they're starting the they have a new compound of rubber that they created that's based off of a plant.
Come on.
Uh huh.
So talk to me.
So it's still in the early stages. They're starting with like some of the IndyCar racing tires because the amount of rubber required for those tires is a little bit different. But they're every brand is starting to look at other ways to create a tire without using the actual rubber. Something that's a little bit more sustainable
and not necessarily a hybrid, but like just a whole
yeah.
Nother
I mean,
different
they'll start with a mix.
Oh, okay,
and they'll kind of, you know, a little bit of a blend, and then eventually. But the technology is there from what we've kind of been briefed on is that eventually it'll go to this strictly plant-based rubber, quote-unquote, compound, and supposed to be, you know, better for the environment with all the same, you know, positive.
We're
going to
need more plants for this plant-based meat and the
all,
plant-based
they
tires.
They have farms out in the... The thing that's neat is that the farms, this plant, and I cannot remember the name, and oh my God, I'm in
hemp.
Trouble. No, it's not.
The
it's tires. It's a bush, and but it grows in the desert, so there's plenty of farmland out there.
Right.
And, you know, it's to farm this particular plant is actually, you know, also very easy on the environment. It's not like you're trying to make, you know, corn or something like that, because you can grow it
the cultivation
in the
process
desert.
Yeah,
you can grow it in the desert. You know, there's not a whole lot of farms out in the desert. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, it's nice to be able to grow something we need in a place where you can't grow other things we need.
Yeah. All I pictured when we first did the brief, and I'm, you'll remember this of all people, but the Sam Kinison bit where the, you know, there's your go where the food is and don't. Have you ever heard that bit?
Yes.
Sam? Yeah. So
as
like
far as poverty and not poverty.
There's no
starvation. Yeah. Starvation.
It's sand. You know, it's gonna be 100 years. It's gonna be sand. So like every time that they redo the brief on the desert, like that's all I hear is Sam Kinison in the background going.
It is pretty funny, though, because if you zoom out really, really far to, like, ancient Egypt and stuff, like, that was all lush. Like, where the pyramids are, Giza and everything, the Giza Plateau, was all beautiful. It's a plateau. The river used to come up to it. The Nile used to come up to it. And it used to be, like, beautiful palm trees and tropical, almost.
Yeah.
Not even almost tropical.
The oases that were out there and stuff. So, yeah. Now we've...
And then theoretically, now all that stuff's buried in Brazil, and it's all being unearthed with all of the radio, photography now, right?
They're finding all kinds of stuff from what I've read.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully in our lifetime, we get to get some neat stuff happen in our lifetime that we get to be around and see.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Nice.
Well done, sir.
Nice
circle. I know I have to at least ask you about Hot Wheels. I don't know how much we can talk about because I know there's...
There was a little bit of it, yeah. So coming soon will be they will release Hot Wheels Legend Tour will come back this year. That's about as much as I can tell you. Last year was quite successful. This year they've expanded the promotion contest event, whatever you want to call it, into it'll be 17 countries this year.
Holy crap!
And so the,
what was it previously?
Every year they gained more and more, but I think last year it was closer to 12.
Still a lot.
Most of them are virtual because it's difficult to put together the Legends Tour like we do here. But last year was very, very successful, and this year the schedule will be out soon, and I will release it to you and make sure you're on the list. It should be coming in a couple of weeks, all the official locations and dates and things like that. So,
historically, the finale is...
I can tell you that the finale this year will be at their headquarters in El Segundo this year.
Oh, okay. It's not always there.
No.
Oh, jeez. No. Sorry to mislead the witness.
last year, the quote-unquote finale where they did the actual world finale and they had the voting was actually at Big Dog Garage with Leno. So Leno's big involved.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Misha was there. Yeah. And everything. That's right.
So we did an event at El Segundo. It was towards the end of the tour itself. But this will be the fun. Well, I don't want to say the finale, but the final stop will be at the headquarters in El Segundo.
Very cool.
If nobody's ever been out to Hot Wheels, I mean, we all grew up, playing with cars. It's a neat location to go and see, like the actual, motherland.
Yeah, where the things that we played with came from. Yeah, and then they got the real ones there in the lobby sometimes too.
The designers are all walking around, all the staff is walking around, and they're happy to answer questions. And I mean, they're just super nice. Everybody on there I've ever met is such great people because they're literally living their childhood dream. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
They have a fun job.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's stressful and everything, but they have a fun job. Yeah. They're designing little toy cars.
Not a terrible thing.
That's rad. No. And they get to have so much, think of a real automobile, if you're putting on a real car and you get to design that, that's a major thing. But it's like one every couple of years. You got to work on that one car forever. Yeah. These guys get to crank out all sorts of cars. And
I can't remember
designs.
The exact figure, but I think they've done 65,000 different designs over the, course of the entire brand of Hot Wheels. It's something ridiculous like that.
How many years is Hot Wheels? 50?
Over 50, yeah.
Yeah. That's a shit ton.
Yeah. It is. And, to those, the employees and the designers specifically, they take such pride in it because a lot of them did. They played with it, as kids. So that's what makes the Legends Tour kind of so special because you have somebody who built their, grew up with Hot Wheels. They got older. They were able to build their dream. And then in reverse, they have a chance to win their dream build turned into a Hot Wheels that not just you get one or two, but you get a chance to it gets sold retail worldwide. And so some little kid can walk into Walmart and pick your car up off the shelf and go home and play with it. And as a car guy, that again hits you right in the feels because that's the theme of today, apparently.
That's cool. But when right. Nice. When your box arrives with all of those and you get to give them out to your friends.
Yeah.
That to me is it. Cause when you were a kid, it was getting or giving a Hot Wheels to a friend, trading them, I guess.
And think about, they still managed to keep the price still about, $1, $1.25, $1.50. Special editions are a little different, but
I don't want to get into how they're able to do that because I don't think I would like the answer. It's absolutely incredible.
It's probably the same algorithm that Costco uses to sell their hot dogs. So
those are good too.
Right?
Pizza too. <Yeah. laughs> I don't know how they do that. That's a big hot dog for $1
or coming whatever. Soon, further details on the Legends Tour for this year.
Who won last year? I can't remember what the major what ended up getting made.
From
was
Houston.
It a Corvette?
No, it was from Houston. It was a big ridiculous. So they, it was an AutoCam or not the AutoZam. It was a basically a Japanese K car truck that they built on a full subframe with a small block Chevy and lifted on tractor tires and things like that.
So it was a full custom build.
Yeah, it was. Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm drawing a blank here. It was something like the Big Toot or something like that. It was something.
The Big Toot.
Yeah, it was. It was completely crazy because he had air horns on it, and it was, like you literally like it was. It was like 8 feet high. Like he had to bring it out on a like a specialized trailer that he built to bring it out to the event, and it was
I didn't amazing. Realize that. I always thought I was like, boy, I wonder if my chances would improve or like because our car is literally just a Porsche 997 as far as the mold goes. Right. It's all on the outside. It's just the decals and the wheels and whatever.
Is, right. But I mean, you know, Magnus had his line of stuff. I mean, that was essentially
the
same as well,
for sure.
So.
I mean, totally the same thing. You're right.
Yeah.
Good call.
I don't know if that makes you feel less special or more special, but I mean, you're right along the same
design
line. So, yeah, so it's a neat event, though. It's neat to see the kids and you know the parents and you know the dads acting like kids and you know sharing that the part of what they grew up you know doing that they can be out there. So,
lest there be any confusion, I meant that I didn't think I was on that level. Not that I would have any problem being compared to Magnus at that. Yeah,
of course.
Okay. I'm going to get letters, I'm telling you. You can't please everybody.
I'm in so much trouble. I can't remember half the facts of the Hot Wheels. I'm going to be in all kinds of trouble.
The conversation from before the show about you can't please everybody. No. You have to be okay with not being liked.
Yes. It's kind of my job, though. I should probably have...
I don't know anybody who doesn't like you. I would tell you.
I try not to.
I can't imagine anybody doesn't like... How could anybody not like... I sound like your mother now. I want to pinch your cheeks.
I agree.
I have a funny story about a job interview that I did. There was one year I was interviewing. This is years ago, and I was interviewing for a job. And I'm not going to say the company, but I met the person I was supposed to interview with at SEMA one year. And I had given him my resume ahead of time, and he's like, "Look, I'm going to be at SEMA. You'll be at SEMA. Let's just meet there and talk." And I literally told the guy, he's like, he brought it up. He's like, "Well, you didn't include a reference letter, you know, a list of references," which I personally think is silly anyway, because it's like basically here's a list of my friends that are going to tell you something good about me anyway. So what's the point?
Oh man, I've always felt the same thing. So, shouldn't you find references on me?
Right.
That trick
so what
me?
I basically what I did was we sat down. That's and I told hilarious. Him. I said, listen, we're at SEMA. You know, this is the industry I'm in. This is the industry you're in. I said, you drop my name to anybody here. If they know me by name, I go. You can use them as a reference and ask anything you want.
That's amazing. What a
and
move.
He was like,
baller
and,
move.
And he's like, he didn't know what to say. And so I was like, I'm just if they know me by name, I was like, feel free to just poke around.
What do you
ask.
Think of him? Yeah.
And I didn't hear from him. Like the whole rest of the team, he's like, all right, well, you know, we're going to be busy the rest because it was Monday. And so Tuesday was getting ready to start everything. And I was like, you know, we'll touch base after seeing whatever. And so I talked to him like a week later. He goes, you weren't kidding, were you? I was like, no, he goes, not everybody I talked to. He goes, knew who you were. He goes, but the ones that I did happen to, you know, bring up to, he's like,
the best.
I was like, there's my reference letter. So I've worked hard to be able to be able to do that in this industry. So I like to brag about it a little bit. I mean, but
the nice thing is you don't have to. That's the funny thing because the that's a rare occurrence where the what's the word I'm trying to think of where the reputation doesn't precede you,
right?
Because generally,
I'm
does.
Sure there's got to be people out there that think ill of me in some respect or whatever, but I've tried very hard to maintain.
I'm trying to think how I would have met you through Matt, obviously.
Yeah.
Matt Farah, and I wouldn't probably have known you before that. So
probably
like
not,
you get grandfathered in like, oh, he's one of Matt's friends, so you know he's okay. But then like you, I love you, not just as Matt's friend. Like I love you.
Well, thank you. And I love you guys too.
It's so
but
funny.
Yeah, it's
I love him.
But in this, you know, I learned early on that in this industry, and I've had, you know, I've been lucky enough to work. I was in radio for years as well. And, you know, one of my mentors was, you know, this guy, Mike Olivero, and he was a promotions and marketing director at the stations that I worked at. And you know, I learned early on that from him, that it's basically, you know, it's your reputation. I mean, it's, you know, I had two guys, Ron Shepard, Joe Mama Johnson was his on-air name.
Excuse me?
And he had a sign above his desk, and I'll never forget it. It said J-O-B-D-O-N-E. And he was the promotions director, and it was basically the rule of the land as an intern was like, get the job done. He's like, I don't care. I don't want to know how it happens. I don't care how it happens. As long as the job gets done, just do it. But and then Mike was the more political type of guy, and he was the one that, you know, he was the marketing director. So he was in control of all the tickets and had all the contacts, and he was the guy that everything was a phone call away. And I remember, you know, I remember just being so amazed how, again, we could go anywhere in Tampa, and, you know, we go to a nightclub, we go to a restaurant, and if they knew Mike, they were like, they're like, oh, you know, you work for Mike? Yeah, you're good, you're good. And it always, you know, I always thought that was the neatest thing. And, you know, you learn that, you know, people don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
They don't forget. They don't forget the good. They don't forget the bad.
Did you? Where'd you grow up?
I mean, I was born in New York.
Yeah.
But I did grow up in Florida. So no, I'm very quick to remind everybody that my birth certificate says New York. I mean, I moved to Florida young, but.
But you grew up both in big metropolises. And I think, like, I have what you're talking about, mm-hmm. but I always credit it to being like a small town mentality where you can't fuck over the next three guys because you're going to see those next three guys every day.
Well, it's funny because growing up in Tampa, like we had, the group of friends that I had in Tampa were all from New York in one form or another, or the tri-state area really. And, you know, having that Italian kind of heritage, you know, everything is, you know, handshake, integrity, you know, your word is your bond kind of a thing.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how important that was as a kid. It's just, that was how I grew up, that my dad was like, look, you know, you say what you do what you say. You know, if you have to say no to somebody, you know, you have to say no. You can't say yes and then forget about it and just do whatever. Like, this is how it has to be. And it's uncomfortable, but it's, in the long run, it's better. And a lot of times it's like, no, but let me figure out a way and I'll get back to you if I can do it. But so many times the generation now is like, oh yeah, I'll take care of that. And then
ghost you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Right? I mean, it's annoying as hell.
Crazy.
And the funny part is moving here to California, most of my friends, Matt's from the tri-state area. Most of my friends are all from the New York area, you know, and have kind of been imported here, and that's the group. And so, you know, over the years, Mike Musto and, you know, a lot of these other guys, it's like you, in living and coming from that area. Right. So I trust your judgment on people. So if you were to call me and say, this is a good guy, you know, he's a friend of ours.
The credibility is better than the average.
Right.
Yeah. No, right. I'm with you there.
You know, there are times you have to earn it, but I know that if you give them a blessing, then okay, they're in. And my reputation was always that, you know, if I say yes, then you can count on it. And it's going to happen. And come hell or high water, I'll find a way. Or I'll be honest and tell you I can't do it.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way in this industry, you know, in the automotive industry, because things happen quick. And, you know, and we're all in it for life. I mean, I have friends when I started out at, you know, my first like automotive job really was DuPont Registry.
I always forget that. I always forget it because I loved it growing up.
We went from Auto Trader to DuPont Registry, right?
It was one of the most expensive magazines you could get at the stand, and I would save up my allowance and get it.
It was car porn. That's what it was. And so when I got the job there.
It was car porn.
It was. I mean, that's how we – that's. Again, it was.
Excuse
it was,
me, sir. I'm not 18, but I'd like to buy this magazine that has all those shiny cars in it.
Every airport you'd go to, it was on the newsstand. I mean, it was there, and that's how it was.
Yeah, next to the Rob Report.
You know, working there, I was lucky enough to go to all of these different, you know, events, and you know, we'd be set up for shows, the international auto shows or the Pebble Beaches and things like that, and anything else. So I got to meet all these guys, and I still have friends to this day from when I started that they were on the low rung of the totem pole. You know, they were going out, setting up the booths and working for, you know, Rolls Royce is some great job. And now they're like VP of marketing for Aston mm-hmm. Martin or all these, you know, so we
used
all,
to set up the tables,
you know, yeah. And, but I was too. So yep. Like you go to the auto show and like, I'm the guy in the booth bringing the car in and the guy next to you, you know, with at the Ferrari booth is also rolling his cars in. We're the first ones there and the last ones to leave. So you develop, you know, and you see them at every show. You're at Detroit, you're at New York, you're here and there. And then you develop this friendship over the years. And then you start growing through the industry. They start growing throughout the industry. And, you know, you cross paths one way or another. You're constantly changing brands. You're constantly changing responsibilities. But the one thing is you're still here. And so, you know, I'm lucky that I learned early on how important that was to be able to keep that reputation and, you know, maintain those relationships because.
But it sounds to me like it was instituted in you. Hang on, let me see if I can say this right. It seems like it was put in you as standard operational procedure instead of some people are like, oh, I went the extra mile. I finished that one. Like.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you know what I mean? Where you're like, no, you have to finish it, and if you don't, it's failure.
Yeah, basically, it's what it was.
Most people are like, oh, if I finish it, it's extra credit, right?
Well, I mean,
where's
like,
my pen on the mat?
A lot of it, in you know, when I started working, excuse me, sorry, in radio, the you know, we had an engineer that used to joke around, and you know, in radio, like the show must go on, right? I mean, obviously, same thing in TV, especially with your guys' background as well. I mean, it's
dead air is dead air,
right? So the joke with the engineer was always like, look, if I can't walk you through fixing it over the phone.
It is our comedy.
Yeah, that I'm can't sorry. Happen in real life. You know, the joke in radio was that, you know, that he used to tell us, like, if I can't walk you through fixing whatever the problem was over the phone, it's probably not getting fixed then anyway. So you had to kind of think on your feet and, you know, walk and figure out how to explain the problem in a way that, you know, they, the engineer on the other side of the phone, understood it, and then they had to figure out a way to, you know, walk you through, maybe without having that technical background, but be able to figure it out. It's all just problem solving, but it's being able to communicate the problem in a way that the other person understands.
And knowing all of the logistics from all of the different perspectives. That's something most people don't know because they've only learned one different trade. Yeah. You've bounced around enough. I'm familiar. You and I are so similar like that. We're like Boy Scouts of our trades.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they think the entertainment industry is, you know, that aren't in it. They probably, and I'm just assuming, but I would guess that, and from what I've heard, they assume it as a different way. They don't realize how much problem solving goes into what we have to do to make, you know, magic happen, so to speak.
For an event or for a shoot.
I consider myself very lucky to be able to have. I worked with some amazing people and learned a lot about personalities. And I mean, I worked for years under, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge and some of these.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
I said chick-a-doo the other day. I said it wrong, but you know, however, chick-a-doo, whatever he used to say. What did he say? Was it check it out or shake it up or chick-a-doo?
He barely spoke English, but it was. But he was
Florida. He was the king of Florida radio.
He was the king of Florida radio. He was good friends with Howard Stern. But there is
Hulk Hogan for a bit,
and yeah, and they're real close friends. And but that's a prime example of having a personality that, love it or leave it, that's who he was, because he was off the air who he was on the air. And again, love it or hate it, he had guys that were, you know, that were fans to the point where they were loyal to the point of insanity. And then they had other people that hated him, you know, and would take a shot at him if they had the chance, but they all listened.
In 2016, they had the guys with the big trucks with the dualies with the Trump flags and all that.
Oh, yeah.
No judgment on that. I remember 10 years before that when the same thing was happening and all those flags said Buffett the Love Sponge. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. BTLS. I grew up with all that in all over Florida, so it was kind of crazy. But those working with those people, it's all those different personalities and all those different, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, I'll be in a meeting with somebody like Bubba the Love Sponge or any of these other radio personalities are very kind of weird. You know, and I say that because my ex-wife is one and still to this day. And
what?
Yeah, my
probably don't want to fixate on this, but I'm curious.
Her name is Lana, and she's a morning show DJ on QIK in Tampa, which is like a heritage country station, probably one of the oldest country stations in the country. So she started out in rock radio and then transferred to country station.
Had no
which
idea.
Which sounds like a weird transition, but it was actually pretty cool. So
in Florida, it's not that weird of a transition. It might be weird other places.
No, the
Detroit,
artist,
it might
the,
be.
The artists are a little bit different. Well, I mean, she never listened to country before ever, like, taking the job. She was a rock girl. She grew up, you know, like full, like tall hair and all.
Oh, then
yards.
I got you. So
she was
weird.
she was a rock girl through and through. And then, but you know, there was an opportunity to go in country radio. It was a little more stable. It was a little bit, you know,
it's more conservative.
It was not, actually, in radio, it was just a matter of there was an opportunity there, and in radio, you take it. You know, it's you take what you can. And her old boss had transferred over, and he was settled in, so he brought her over there.
Wild.
But, you know,
do you remember the scene in Private Parts where he's either in Detroit and it's a rock station and they change formats in the middle of the day and all of a sudden it's a country Hop Along Howie with
and it happens like that. I mean, it absolutely happens like that. I mean, I was involved with stations flipping, you know, where we would go to the office and we would, like, middle of the night, take the station vans out of the building, bring them somewhere else, and, like, have them peel stickers off and things like that, and they would be painted in the middle of the night. And
to rebrand them overnight.
They would come back, and, like, at midnight, the station would flip channels, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, people were, you know, in some cases, you know, locked out of the building, if they, you know, and they were, sometimes it was that dramatic where they literally, like,
if there was animosity,
they flipped formats, and, like, they kept it automated until they could get, you know, the proper staff in place or in from wherever they were going. It was crazy. Yeah, but we literally had pulled
that's
station
like
vehicles
shit, but on 50,000 watts
and within your own company, like as a promotions and a person for, like, you know, at the time I worked 93.3 FLZ, which is a huge top 40 station nationwide, and the 98 Rock is another heritage AOR station. But, like, I remember when we flipped stations, we would, you know, us as the promotions team would go in and we'd all go in the middle of the night, grab bands, and, you know, and at midnight you'd hear them flip over. But radio wars were a thing. I mean, we did some stuff. Oh, my God. We used to, like, we'd sneak over to competing stations and we'd super glue their door locks.
No.
all kinds of stuff.
I mean, see, so these are the stories you would hear. Remember, how, again, back to Howard Stern, but they were doing some live show somewhere and somebody was cutting the cord and everything.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Because, so I used to, I would, as an intern, I lived about 45 minutes away from the station, and I would, Friday morning, I would get up and drive to the station. We would set up all the promotions for, you know, prize boxes and gas up the vans and make sure everything's good for the weekend.
Oh, Friday, all the t-shirts
and
all
t-shirts
that stuff.
And things like that. We had them in prize boxes, and we would, Friday afternoon, we would go to a happy hour event somewhere. Friday night was a club gig somewhere. We'd come, get done with the club gig, you know, maybe bring some people back to the station and party because overnights was live. Mm. And we would hang out with the live guy overnight. And then 6 a.m., you had Rick Dees and you had Casey Kasem. And so, like, one of us had to run the board for Rick Dees. And this is, you know, carts doing drops and the whole nine yards. 6 to 10 a.m. And then at 10 a.m.
And Rick was here in town, right?
He was here, but he...
Oh, you weren't.
I wasn't. We were, this is so back confused. In this is back in Tampa when they were syndicated.
Right. Okay, got it.
But he would they would send
oh,
out.
Oh, but you
like,
still have to run your local because the local. Program is syndicated, but
they
you're still running
a
live
CD.
Hour.
Yeah, they would send it out. On, this is before even they would send it over the internet. This is they would send it on CD, and you'd have to sit there and play each track and let him do his because he would record his show early. Even here, they wouldn't run that show live. They would run it earlier in the week and but with the countdown.
For anyone else who doesn't understand how all of this radio works, it would be like. Me sitting here and doing this show with a taped interview and all the other stuff, but I still have to run here and do the board live and make sure
commercials
all the
commercials
had to be
local
are in.
And the drops roll over.
Donut
the,
spots, again, back to that.
I drops listed that every week and had no idea.
Yeah. So those like little, they call them drops, but that's that like, you know,
Casey
FLZ.
Was in New York, wasn't he? So that may, you may have gotten the real one.
So we would get, on like Thursday or Friday, we would get a FedEx package or a UPS, you know, envelope or whatever with the CDs for the show. Every CD had, it was an hour, and then we would have to, we would play that, and then we would do the drops and the commercials and stuff in between there.
But, this one goes out to Eleanor.
But remember, most of us that were doing those, like if I had to run the board, like we had stayed up the whole night previous partying. So maybe we got a couple hours, maybe we didn't get any. The show would be over. We'd go and like hit a car lot, you know, with free hot dogs and give out prizes, go back to the station, sleep for a little bit, back out Saturday night for parties, and then back to the station overnights. And
what
I mean, and then Sunday we'd do a couple of things. And I would sleep at the station. I wouldn't go home again until Sunday night.
Did you have that grind in you always? Because you have it now.
I think I did. I mean, I don't remember as a kid ever, you know, not having that follow through, but yeah,
it's not
I mean,
just follow through. It's just like, you know, you make sure that your time management's very good.
There's people that know how to do a job and finish it, and some people have no idea.
I think a lot of it comes from, you know, my parents were both hard workers. My dad was a mechanic for 30 years. You know, so that's a job that the job has to get done. Like, you can't just be like, whatever.
You can't go to work for the next week or so.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it is. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and then she started doing stained glass, and she was a stained glass artist. Again, another job where it has to, you know, it gets completed and it gets done. And, you know, but I think it was more, you know, just the, you know, I could never be comfortable with just blowing things off like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
but do you ever relax though? I mean, all right, your work ethic is good when, but I can't like your birthday party, everybody was swinging golf clubs because we were at that, you know, the party place. I just, that was the most relaxed I've ever seen you. And you were up and down and up and down and over here and over. I mean, it was like,
it drives tennis crazy
non-stop.
because it, like at night, like if I stop, I collapse. Like it's like, I'm done. Like if I, at the end of the day, you know, because I'm usually,
when you crash, you crash.
Yeah, I'm usually up at 4.
Dude, that's earlier than anybody I know.
You know,
4:45 seems to be
again,
the magic number.
But remember, coming from being in radio, when Lana worked mornings, she had to be at work at 5:30. So the dogs were up at the house. I was up. I was working at Lamborghini, so I would be up talking to Italy, who was 6 hours ahead. So by the time my dealers came in at 9 o'clock, I had already dealt with all the stuff at the factory I needed to deal with. Mm. So I have just always been, and you know, thankfully Tanis is an early riser as well. So you know, she's up at 4:15. I'm usually up. You know, by then I'm usually at the gym by 4:30.
That's so badass.
And you know, again, but the flip side is we're
what
usually in bed
crash?
By 8:30.
8:30, okay.
But like, if I stop at 7:30 to sit, and she's like, "Would you just sit down and relax?" And I'll sit on the couch, and like next thing you know, I'm like, I'm done. Like I'm cashed.
You can't plan on watching a movie or whatever because the moment
it's
you,
hard. Yeah. We literally have to plan on watching a movie.
And then you save up energy to not. Oh boy.
So
that would drive me nuts too. But although our old life was actually pretty much like that. It's just nowadays.
Every time I'm like, oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. Everything was a constant response to someone. But so I get
and you
that,
figured you would catch up on sleep later because you wouldn't. You yeah, would be sure up at night. You'd be up in the morning.
Your emails never stopped. Your phone never stopped ringing.
Never, like, and I wasn't good at that break. I should have been better, but that break.
Oh, taking time for yourself. You
mean. Oh yeah.
No.
Well, you know, she was in the same kind of thing in a service industry where your phone is on, both of your phones are on all the time, and sometimes it's disaster, and you don't know what time of night that's going to be.
People think it's just doctors. Like, I know doctors that have way more free time than I ever had.
Same. Someone called me.
On call, and they're off call.
Right.
They get a downtime. Yeah.
Someone called me at 3:30 in the morning when a Twitter got hacked. Yeah. It's like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. I'm in the different coast. Like,
and no one's at Twitter right now.
No one.
But it is. It's crazy because people think that, like, people like doctors or, you know, like firefighters, you know, they're on for 24 hours and off for 48. But when they're off, they're off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless something 9/11 style happens. Like,
an emergency,
you know,
is an emergency.
You know,
but otherwise,
they're calling in people from reserves. But other than that, like normal stuff, like, they're not getting a call. You know, we do, though. You know, and if your phone rang at 3:30 in the morning, it's never a good call.
Exactly.
Never.
You know.
Exactly.
So it was.
Did I tell you how cute my kitten is?
No.
Not that.
You're drunk. Go home. You know, that would be about the answer to that if that was the case. So
good call.
It's
you can do that.
It's a little strange. So, but yeah, I don't think I would ever change it. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to be any other way.
Good. Don't change. We all love it. I want to talk about West Side Collector Car Storage because I was there for all of the, you know what
big
I mean? The first
happening.
One, I was there from the moment it was a structure to what it is now. And I just because I was there every day, I felt like a part of that process. I feel like so outside on this one. What's going on?
So unfortunately, the weather has caused a little bit of a delay, but we do have a second location. It's funny because so West Side Collector Car Storage, for those that don't know, is a high-end, it's really, I hate thinking that it's a car storage facility. It's really a concierge facility. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt had this vision of creating something so that the people that are in a position to enjoy a lot of these high-end cars or any collector cars, I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff there, but to be able to enjoy the time they spend with the cars. And that's really the idea behind it.
Yep.
A lot of times, you know, you either are limited to space, so you can only have, you know, one or two cars, where a lot of us as car people are crazy and we like to have a selection of things. You know, you don't have just one pair of sneakers, right? And it goes back to my theory where, you know, having cars is not transportation. It's an experience, and every experience is different. There's a whole big thing that we can talk about a whole nother time. but Matt understood that because he was one of those people. And like he had all these cars, but he was spending so much time having to do things for each car, he didn't get to enjoy them so much. So he had this idea of, you know, not just creating a storage facility, but creating a community and a facility where, you know, he could help everybody and spend more time enjoying their cars.
Mm-hmm.
So having your car there, the staff there basically does everything for you that you wouldn't necessarily have time for. And it could be a matter of you're out of town because you live somewhere else, but you want to keep your car here. You fly in because the roads here are amazing. So maybe you live in, you know, Texas or Oklahoma, where maybe not the most enjoyable of all drives, and we have all the canyons here that are amazing. We have customers that will fly in on a Friday morning. We have pickup from the airport there, bring them back to the facility, their car's washed. If you want to put gas in it, we check the tires, everything gets inspected. They go through there. The guys at the shop are amazing. Like, if your tires are old, they call and let you know. If your registration is getting ready to be expired, they'll let you know so that you can handle everything, that when you get there, we hand you the keys, go enjoy your car.
I've seen a handful of these drop-offs where people, you know, they get picked up at the airport, they come over, they get their cup of coffee, and then they go. It feels like a new car delivery, even though it's their
every
car.
Every time.
Yeah.
Their car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time. And that's
the
idea.
They said that.
We, you know, Matt's got guys that will come on-site and change tires. He's got guys that will come on-site and do tint or
the paint guy, the paint dentless and all the paint.
Dentless paint if you nick your wheel up. There's very, very little that he won't do. I mean, we've got cars there that the guys are, you know, exercise. Every car there stays on a charger. Every car there gets started up and brought up to operating temperature once a month. Certain cars get driven because the older cars, the drivetrains actually need to be brought up and used a little bit. So we do everything that we can do. And if we see a car, if we're moving a car and there's a, you know, there's an oil, you know, drip, we'll check it out. We have relationships with all of the different dealerships. You know, if your car is due for service, the Teslas are funny because we'll get a call from an owner and be like, hey, my Tesla just called me and said it's, you know, needs to go in for an update. And so we
That's
we
funny,
arranged
it's at
you
the top
know,
of the rack right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we arranged that for them. You know, and between Matt and I, we have relationships with a lot of these, you know, strange. You know, Matt's friends with Marco at TLG, the air cooled Porsche specialist. And Marco is generally on a huge waiting list, but because of the relationship
he's
he has with Matt,
he's actually not even taking customers anymore.
A lot of times, right?
It's a permanent waiting list.
Because of the relationship that he has with Matt, and you know, and membership has its privileges, kind of a thing. You know, if our customers with the air cooled cars, again, to maximize the amount of time they're spending it, I mean, Matt can call in a favor and say, "Look, we can get you in. You know, I'll get your car in 2 weeks." It's that kind of level of service that he tries to create. So we have this, you know,
it's a one of a kind thing. Yeah, I think that's why it's hard to describe.
And
it's
he's on a waiting list right now for the first facility. And I mean, he was sold out within months of the spots there. So,
it was weeks. I was there. I remember
so
that was crazy.
That created Matt realizing that level of service, you know, could be expanded a little bit. He found a location near Hawthorne Airport in Gardena. Now the first location was built from the ground up. It's probably the safest, most secure facility in the country, definitely on the West Coast.
Definitely in Southern California.
I mean, there's every car to get in or out of the facility has to go through two secured gates. There's 40-something, you know, security cameras. There's redundant fire suppression systems. There's, you know, everything that the air is maintained. And if any, you know, if there's carbon monoxide that goes through there, there's filtration systems that kick on automatically.
Remember that scene in the Vatican from the movie? It's like that. It's that secure in there.
You know, and so Matt found another facility. He found this building in a little bit of an industrial park that had a lot more space because, strange enough, there isn't much parking space at Matt's parking facility.
It's paid parking there.
So the idea was just going to be, you know, we have a couple of spaces in the front, drop your car off and pick up the new one and go. So he wanted,
it works out well that way, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay.
So he needed another facility, found this place, had, you know, renovations, plans on gutting it and going from there. Well, the building directly next to it, came up, available. And that one had like offices and a conference room and a lounge and everything already in there. It was a vape factory and it was their corporate offices. So he had negotiated with this person. So now he combined the two into this compound.
Holy cow.
That's at the end of this industrial park. And it's going to be secured and gated. There'll be room for probably 60 something cars. So if we want to do a meet there,
this is awesome.
If Good Vibes happens to, you know, have an issue with the weather,
we can transport that into there
and, you know, we'll be able to do a lot more. The other thing is Matt was limited to in the first location is size. The lifts could accommodate 6,000 pounds, but there was a height requirement, width and things like that. So the next facility, the lifts are stronger. It's only going to go up, you know, one level, but we could fit a Sprinter van, you know, we could fit a lifted truck. We could fit, you know, things that normally wouldn't fit at the first facility. Now we have room for that. The detail area will be even more extensive and we'll be able to do even more with paint correction and ceramic coating and things like that. But he wanted to have another facility where he could do more interaction with the customer. Not a social club or anything like that, but we do have customers a lot of times waiting for planes, they'll take conference calls and they'll take their Zoom calls and things like that. So this will have a dedicated facility to be able to do that for a lot of
people. I love hanging out in the lounge of the other one. Like whenever there's a podcast going on and it's sort of like the green room.
It's kind of a green room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's he wanted it simple. He didn't want it to be a country club. He didn't want it to be a social club. He wanted to kind of keep it business.
There's four chairs in there.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Simple, you know. And he has his podcast at the first facility, so the second facility will be a little bit more, you know, business related. But, you know, it'll hold, I think, an addition, depending on how we park the cars, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of like almost 180 cars.
Wow, that's awesome.
So between the two facilities and, you know, motorcycles and all kinds of crazy stuff. So
do you in the vape factory portion, are those offices or is that all being stripped out?
He knocked some of the stuff that we would never use down. There was a couple of things that never, but he didn't have to build.
Speaking of the vape factory over
right.
here.
I mean, he didn't have to build bathrooms. He didn't have to build. So he had to reconfigure the first building because he had all of that designed with an architect to be that was going to be the building.
But now you don't need to put it
that first building is now all storage. There's like, you know, basic stuff, a small office, a bathroom, and that was it, because all the other administration stuff will go into the main building now and go from there. So that being said, this whole long story was because it it's kept getting delayed. And then now that we're at the final hour and we've had rain for the last 12 weeks.
The weather has been shit.
So like, you know, he had to dig a trench for something to put this secure wall up, and they brought in this like fill dirt, and then the dirt got wet. So they had to literally move the wet dirt out and bring in dry dirt. It's like, you don't think about that kind of stuff, you know, in normal stuff, but you know, poor Matt's had to learn all of these things about permitting and construction and stuff that he's
all over again.
Didn't want to learn, but now he's learned. I mean, you don't have to, you know. I mean, who
well, now he knows how to build a building, and now he knows how to redo renovate a building. Yeah.
So that's it's gonna be
that cool. Guy. It's awesome. He like is. That's the safest thing to talk to a car person because he knows his shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, he absolutely does. And you know, it was neat because I remember him talking about it, thinking he should do it. Does he, you know, should he go through it? But he had this vision of what he's like, you know, this is what I would want if I was a customer.
And it doesn't exist.
And it didn't exist at the time. And even the few that are out there around the country, I mean, Otto in Phoenix and you know, there's a few down in like in San Diego, a lot of them are more social related, which is perfectly fine, you know, but that's okay. But there's a time and a place for that. But, you know, Matt has a very specific, like, you know, we're here to make sure that you spend the time driving your car, not hanging out with us in our office.
And even if they did the exact same thing, there's nothing like that in Los Angeles. And this is like, no. SoCal is the culture hub not for so automobilia in America.
Yeah. I mean, to know, it's a whole separate podcast to go through what Matt had to go through for the EPA to be able to have actual water, to be able to detail your car the right way. And he brought in Larry from Ammo to, you know, teach the guys the detailing. We use all the Ammo products. So it's all the best stuff.
Is it the same system at the new place?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Because that was a huge fucking deal.
Oh, yeah. Where he's the only facility in the area that actually uses water to detail the cars. You know, because, you know, he has like these filters that have to be inspected once
he's
a year and
to
all these other things. Yeah, because he does it the proper way. So it's kind of crazy, but like it works, and the customers are all, you know, really happy. I think it's neat to talk to all the customers and hear the stories about what they do and, you know, how they got to where they are, or, you know, hear the stories about the cars they have there. And I mean, he's got, you know, Danica Patrick's GoDaddy car there. That, you know,
the NASCAR car.
He's got, you know,
that's a privately owned car, right? That's not Danica's just
so
parking
the story
it there.
The story that I was told was that the gentleman that owns it was the crew chief for her team, and when he retired, it was that year, and the team gave him that car as a going away present, so to speak. That was the story I told.
That's awesome.
So again, I can't confirm that myself. I didn't hear it from the horse's mouth, but that was the story that we were told. So it's kind of cool. But I mean,
I love going over there just because like you get to peek in there and see what's. There's always something mysterious in there. Something you're not allowed to take a picture of or talk about.
There's an underground area that there's cars that are very secure.
Part. Yeah, the Batcave.
Yeah, the Batcave.
The fucking lighting in the Batcave. Don't
very
get me started.
Cool. Yeah. So the second facility should be open. It should have been open, you know, earlier. You know, poor Matt.
Is there a?
He's not going to commit to a specific date. We should be able to start moving like his cars in, you know, and close, you know, personal friends of not customer cars yet, but that's going to free open some space in the main facility because again we're on a waiting list for that one.
Right.
But I'm guessing, you know, we'll be fully operational at least to move cars in the first facility by May, and I'm thinking by June the other area should be remodeled depending on how far we want to go with it.
I understand that you didn't want to, whatever. You were very cautious there. Those are both very soon.
Yeah. Oh,
those
no,
are
it's
very
close.
Soon.
It's very, very close. It's very close. And I mean, it's still impressive.
Hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah. It's neat to see a friend, you know, be able to take his dream and succeed at that level. I mean, I remember when, you know, Matt started, you know, the podcasting, the YouTube videos with the Garage 419s and the Drive Network and, you know, things like that. And again, it goes back to here's a network of friends that you've maintained and you kept and you kept your word and you've had this integrity, you've had this bond.
You grow together.
And you grow together. And to see him, you know, like so many of us have been able to do, it's pretty neat.
Mm.
It really is neat. So.
God, your vibe is so good. I'm going to bring in producer Mike up here just for a minute because he is...
caught texting.
Yeah, totally. He was probably talking to the Instagram audience, I'm guessing.
I was. Kayla Delahunt says that you are Superman,
Kayla.
Vinny.
I missed it. What did he say?
Said what?
That Vinny is Superman.
Oh, yeah. She's right.
And Superfly as well. I have a weird question for you.
Perfect.
Okay. You're talking about Bubba the Love Sponge, and then I realized your name. Has anybody ever confused you for the other Vince Russo that's out there?
The WWE guy?
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, because he's a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, verbally, yes. And
but you don't look alike, right?
No. I mean, he's an older gentleman, and he's huge.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, I get all the time. I get all the time. But no, I mean, most of the time I'll have people ask if I'm related to him in some way or another.
Like one of the Wahlbergers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got
Or Vince Russo, too. Like, I'll get asked if I'm somehow related. And I'm sure if you go on some timeline long enough, our families are from the Sicily somewhere. Together, but no, I mean, but yeah, it's funny. I you know, and especially because I grew up, the area I grew up in, Tampa, just north of there, there was Greg Valentine lived there, Hulk Hogan lived there, there was a bunch of the rest. John Cena lives in that area just south of there. So there's a lot of wrestlers.
I think The Rock has a place down there too.
Yeah. And so we, you know, I actually went to summer camp one year with Greg Valentine's daughter, and I ended up becoming friends with Hogan's son, Nick, because he was a car guy. And I get all kinds of crazy stories about Nick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Nick and Brooke Hogan. I forgot about that.
So, and then being with Bubba, I mean, I ended up getting to know, you know, Hulk as well a little bit. So it was, you know, I'm a fan of wrestling as well. Those guys are all very, they're all big gentle giants.
I mean, were you just because you were around it or?
No,
were
I was,
you as a kid?
I was. So for me, like same thing in music as well. Like once I get to know the person and kind of see where they're from, I met so many artists over the years working in radio that I would either be super disappointed or my eyes would be open. And country was another thing. Like, I wasn't a big country fan. I mean, yeah, okay, Charlie Daniels, maybe growing up, a couple of things here and there. But I wasn't really a huge country fan. I was, you know, rap and rock. But once Lana started working at the country station, I get to meet these guys, the Keith Urbans of the world and, you know, the Morgan Wallens and things like that. Like, and you get to know them as people. All of a sudden, their music means something different. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with wrestling. Like, I grew up, a little bit of a wrestling fan. I mean, you know, a younger boy, we're all going to watch wrestling a little bit. But I got to know Greg Hart, which is a big promoter, working at the radio, the rock station. We used to promote all the wrestling events there.
And, not related to Jimmy Hart, is he?
I don't think so.
No. You remember Jimmy Hart?
No.
No.
What? You don't know the guy in the picture there? Remember, he was, Jake the Snake's manager? Whose manager was he?
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart, yeah, but Jimmy Hart isn't related to Greg Hart, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
No. But yeah, no so relation. Once I get to know the wrestlers, like all of a sudden now it became a different show then at that point, because now it's somebody, you know. I worked at a same thing. I didn't know much about sports. I grew up as a car guy. My dad was a mechanic. So I didn't know anything. I played beach volleyball and soccer growing up. Like I wasn't a football, baseball guy. Although, my friends played and I would watch the games, but I wasn't like a Sunday drinking beer. My dad and I were in the garage on Sundays wrenching on cars. Mm-hmm. But I worked at a sports station for a number of times, and I ended up developing
just
relationships
immersed in it.
With, you know, some of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Keyshawn Johnsons and things like that, and some of these other guys, you know, that played hockey. And now I'm watching the game. Now I have a friend that's actually playing in the game.
Mm.
And so
now you're invested.
The neat part of it was that I couldn't talk sports with these guys because I didn't know anything about it. So where somebody else would come to me and be like, remember that time you caught that ball, you did that thing? And like, I'm sure, like, after a while, it gets a little old, you know? I mean, there's only so much you can be excited, and they love their fans, but...
I think I can relate to this. I think you're saying that you actually were more inside because you were outside,
because I was
right?
outside, exactly.
I've had the exact same experience all of the sports people.
Keyshawn Johnson would buy a new Ferrari 360, and, like, he knew he could talk to me about the Ferrari because I knew about the car
he
and
knows
didn't
you're
care
not
about
to bring up sports, right.
Yeah, so it was women and cars with the sports guys. That's all they ever wanted to talk about. You know, if they had to talk sports, and even, like, you know, and even that they had a show, they had to talk about the sports here and there, but, like, off-air... They want to talk about their personal life because that's all they ever got a chance to talk about.
And they never get to.
No, they never get to, because somebody eventually always brings up, you know, what's your plan for this, or I'm sorry you lost, or whatever it is.
Dear God, not present.
No.
Not something
so
present.
So that it actually worked. Like you said, I was inside because I was outside, you know, and, you know, so like watching the wrestling shows or watching the sports games, it was now I'm watching a friend, you know, do their thing. And so it became a different relationship. And with music as well, I'm listening to a song from a perspective of somebody that I actually know, and knowing hearing the stories behind the songs, and knowing and meeting their wives or their kids or meeting their dogs backstage, you know, and
that applies to any art, doesn't it?
Because really
I'm thinking
does.
Of comedy people we've supported, like, you know, after you get to know them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. It's any art, really.
Yeah. I always would encourage people to, like, if you get a chance to, like, to meet somebody, like, or be in a situation, or even read a book, listen to a podcast, or, you know, watch a documentary. If you can understand that person beyond just what it is that they and understand where they're coming from, like, you get this different, you know, a different perspective that you wouldn't normally get. And I got it in the automotive industry when I would talk to some of the designers, that, you know, the car designers, you know, that they're, you know, I always thought it was the neatest thing. Like, here you are drawing a car, and then when next thing you know, like, you know, somebody's out there buying your car. And it doesn't matter if it's a Kia or a Bugatti, like, it's still
or
Hot Wheels. I was like, that's just got to be the neatest feeling. It came from here.
I don't know. Where do you, I mean, you are creative in your own right sometimes, right? In certain ways. You have to be creative to arrange your logistics.
It's mostly problem solving. Yeah, creative problem solving is really probably more than anything.
Well, where do your, well, I guess then your ideas come from the scenario and the situation. I'm trying to think of like people who paint or people who stand-up comedians, like where do the ideas come from?
It's, and basically, they're inspired by the world around them. And they're to me, talking to the musicians, they're expressing the way that they see the world in using the talent they were, you know, given or developed.
Yeah, you're really right about that. But it seems like sometimes an idea will come outside of that.
Yeah.
And it seems to come from, like, I call it the creative tether, where it's like some.
But does it?
I don't know.
Is it a lifetime worth of experience that all of a sudden, like, it may feel like it didn't come from anywhere, but maybe it did.
You collected it.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed, is everyone picks up something from every experience.
Yeah.
And people that have unique stories like that and stand up and whatever, like, they have seen weird stuff. So when people talk about late night dinners that comedians go to, it's like, I know those conversations.
Yeah. And it's not just they've seen it, but they've observed in their way, and they have the talent of being able to bring you into their head, which sometimes is scary given the comedians that you guys are friends with, but being able to share with the world the way that they saw that experience. And that's, and if you're lucky and talented enough that you're able to express that in a way that other people, you know, can either be entertained or related by it, you know, because you think about it, you see a comedian, one of two things are going to happen. You're either going to just be entertained because it's this insane, you know, story, or you can relate to it, which makes it funny because you've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the talent of a storyteller to me, is being, you know, or even a writer. I mean, it's they have this idea.
It's either entertaining or relatable in the best case scenario, both.
Yeah. So anyway.
Have you ever thought about doing stand up? I told you why that happens. I put the air conditioning on.
That's probably right.
All of her stuff comes from everywhere. What have you ever thought about doing?
I've always been a huge fan of stand up. Like, my mom was as well. My family was. I mean, and we used to listen to, I mean, George Carlin, and it was a joke because at a young age, I was listening to like George Carlin and some of these other guys, and if I didn't get the joke, my mom would make me go and research why it was funny.
Ooh, you mean if you said, "Hey, mom, why blah 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 blah," and she'd go, "You
yeah,
go
like especially
out.
With George Carlin, because a lot of his was political, or you know, or you know, and growing up in an Italian household, cursing didn't matter, so my mom didn't care that I was listening to, you know, the words that shouldn't. I hear worse than that at home.
Yeah.
So, but it was, you know, that was part of the deal. It's like okay, so you know, do you know if I didn't laugh at the joke, she's like, "Did you not get that?" No, it's like, okay, well. Figure it out.
I love your mom.
Yeah, my mom's awesome.
That's so cool.
You know, and so, and I learned from my, you know, my dad, the big thing was, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So between those two perspectives of learning the things, you know, I love comedy, and I guess I don't know where to start with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like what I would be able to bring to the table with the perspective.
That's the thing. All you got to do is talk. The interesting thing about it is likability is like the hardest part, and you just sort of have that. So you could just like walk on stage and start freeform and probably develop something very easily if you were the type of person willing to just go and do that.
You can be my manager then.
Okay.
I'm willing to take on the project if you want to work with me and do it. So.
Well, we'll be writing buddies and partners, because I'm doing
do this
going on the other day, reminded or really sort of pinpointed the part like, oh yeah, you really should like learn to write some material and stuff. I don't know how to do that
right.
part. It's the idea of like, get up there and go talk to people. I'm your guy. I'm your guy. I have no problems. The more embarrassing it is for me, the better.
Yeah.
I feel like I overcome demons when I get the flop sweat and whatever else. I hate it in the moment, but I always feel better afterwards. But it would be nice to develop some actual material and then say something of importance on this show as well. And I feel like that's a skill I've yet to learn. And I also am hoping to be, you know, managed in the future, because I feel like...
We could just lean on each other.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it. Because we both know the skills and we can both identify the problems probably from the outside.
Yeah.
You'll just have to tell me mine. And
we're lucky enough to be surrounded by enough people that are talented. You know, I mean, with the friends that you have in the entertainment industry and the people that I, you know, grew up knowing. I
both
mean,
of us, yeah.
So if anything ever happens, it happened here first.
Oh,
so
that's right.
This was the starting point. So, you know, in the future.
Everybody refer back to episode 544 with with the world's best podcast guest, Vinny Russo. No relation to Vincent Russo.
He goes by Vince.
Vince.
Which I do not.
Right. Yes. Hey, Vince. Yeah. What's up, Vince?
Yeah. I just never liked it.
Vince.
And I was this smart ass.
Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer.
And it's with a Y, not what? An IE.
No, I mean, sir.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah. It's with
sir.
A Y, not an IE. Like, to
V-Y-N-C-E?
The point where.
V-Y-N-C-E?
Well, V-I-N-N-Y.
No, yours is. Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying the other guy,
no,
Vince,
him.
Spells it V Y N.
No. My name is with
oh,
a Y.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm so silly.
In elementary school, they'd put my name on the board and they'd write an IE and then they'd keep putting check marks and they'd be like, and they're like, you're, I'm like, that's not me. I don't know whose name that is. I was like, mine's with a Y. And, you know, of course, my mom would get a call from the principal.
Because Vinny's being difficult. Do you ever do a Y with a little heart over it? I mean, an I with a little heart over it? God damn it, I ruined that.
Probably not, since I would, you know, send the "Do you like me?" check this box.
Oh, that would be so. See you at lunch.
I don't see the as an adult male who I would send a note and sign it with a heart to it. So.
Yeah, but Vince is the adult male version of Vinny, isn't it? Isn't that what you're supposed to be?
To
or
me,
Vincent?
Vincent is my actual name, but my nickname would be Vinny, and it's always with a Y. I just never liked the IE, just for some reason.
But Vincent is okay.
Vincent is fine. Yeah, I mean, Vincenzo.
Oh, I like
Vin,
that. Vincenzo,
I've gotten,
I like
yeah,
I
Vincenzo
that,
I've
yeah.
gotten too, so it's kind of crazy. But we all have our own little quirks.
Oh my God, don't get me started.
Well, coming from a guy who spells his first name with one letter.
That was a mistake. I'm 45. Let's just call that what it is. That was a mistake.
The mistake is my dad naming me the same name that he had and having to go through life of, you know, getting letters and getting confused and back and forth. And yeah. So
you are related to it, but he was Vincent as well.
He was Vincent as well.
Yeah.
I'm technically the fifth.
No.
Not by title, but like if you go back in heritage, like his dad going back.
Different middle names?
Yeah, different middle names.
Okay,
like
so you're not technically.
My middle name is Joseph, which is my grandmother's name is Josephine, so that's where I got my middle name from. And my brother's name is Joseph, because my parents asked me what my brother's name, what do you want your brother's name to be? And so my brother's named after my middle name.
That's wild.
There's way too much information.
Excuse me.
No,
it's okay. We'll get to one second there, Mike. It's weird. The Joseph Josephine thing. My grandparents were Joseph and Josephine with the same last name before marriage. Isn't that weird? On my dad's side.
That's crazy.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, you would totally get made fun of nowadays for that.
Joseph and Josephine getting married with the same last name already? Yeah, but it's very simple on the paperwork. Yeah. What's up there, Mike?
I, too, share the same name as my father. And I was wondering, growing up, when you answered the phone and somebody asked, hey, is Vince there? Did you have to say junior or senior?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Me too. Yeah. I think that's kind of universal.
The man or the boy?
We were good at the school call, then I was in trouble.
Mm.
Let me speak to your father. Oh, Vincent? I'm like, you've got him.
Oh, yeah, you could tell. Yeah, you knew who. That's funny.
I even duplicated my dad's signature.
I did that one time on my mom, one time.
Well,
and
my
signature
is very.
I got caught, so it was only a time.
I signed Vinny, but the way I do the V is exactly the same way my dad signs Vincent, but like our V's are identical because I copied his signature,
sure.
so I could.
It's hilarious. We should talk about what's more damaging to a kid, having the same name as a parent or having the same birthday as a parent.
Oh.
Because I have the same birthday as my mom, and.
That's
it's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Although I feel like, and when's your birthday?
September 6th.
Okay.
It's a popular
bad.
Birthday because of the December thing. It's cold in winter and Christmas and stuff.
Well, see, I have the worst birthday, though. Mine's at the end of January.
Why is that the worst?
Because
what else is going on?
I'll tell you why. And so growing up, you have your birthday in January. So if you have yours before Christmas or near Christmas, most kids are like, oh, you know, my birthday is, you know, mid-December. That
people
terrible.
Are holiday at
like,
house.
But they're in a spending mode, though, during
oh,
Christmas time.
Oh, no, I got
I
it.
Have my birthday when there You're are bills not. Come in from Christmas.
Oh, no.
So you know how many cards I got? Because their credit card bills, or they spent all their money on Christmas, so there's no more to, so yeah, so there was that. That's, I still to this day, and I feel
would
like the end of January
is
the worst time to have a birthday, because nobody's in the mood for spending at the end of January, because it's literally like
the end of April, you've gotten the tax money back.
Exactly.
Oh my God,
yeah, that's
Vinny.
A good time to have a birthday is when tax season comes back in.
You have thought this through, money. Sir.
Oh yeah, I lived it.
Oh man.
I lived it. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, okay, anybody that has a, I have a couple of friends, like Jennifer Nicole's birthday is on Christmas, and she used to always
that's
complain.
Worse.
I'm
yeah,
like,
Christmas
I'm like,
Day.
It is, but it's not, because again, spending you may money. Get combined presents.
You, that's what still, I feel like. You, she gets screwed. She
yeah,
gets the combined
a little
presents.
Bit, but she still gets presents. She's
oh,
not
but
just
you
getting
don't
a
get
happy
nothing.
Card.
Oh God. Well, you got the Christmas presents.
Yeah, I got the Christmas presents.
So it's
but
the
that
same
was Christmas.
Thing.
Yeah, but the June birthdays. I mean, that's you know, you get a whole like
we're going on a trip.
You get new stuff twice a year. Like June, middle of the year is probably the best.
Because, June's
like,
great because you're yeah. about to go on summer break.
You got vacation.
Or yeah.
you, so you get new toys to play with on vacation.
Absolutely.
Or you get to go on vacation for your birthday. You know, oh we're gonna go. It's your birthday. We're gonna go to Disney World,
dude.
That doesn't happen in December.
No.
Or January.
No. No, you can't do it. Well, unless you're going for the no, but January definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
So there you go.
Also, that's the time when we're all supposed to buckle down because it's like the winter time.
Right.
It's like we've all stored our nuts and we're all just gonna kind of.
Well,
like,
I mean, you got you know New Year's resolutions. I'm gonna save more. I'm gonna whatever. I'm gonna be more fruit. Whatever the reason is, it just it seems like always gotten screwed.
Eat less chocolate, or so it seems
yeah.
to be people.
Yeah. So like you know,
sweets.
No
lose
cakes.
Weight. Lose weight.
Lose
isn't
weight.
It?
Yeah.
Lose
so,
weight. Number one answer.
Yeah.
Ding.
So we ended with you know. Birthday salads, I don't know, whatever.
Birthday
that
salads?
That didn't happen, but anyways.
Pick anything you want off the menu as long as it's on the left side here.
Right.
Like a stand-up club. Comedy club, there's a name for that.
So.
Let's see, Hot Wheels we did. Formula Drift.
Oh, yeah.
Happening now, starting today?
Press day was today, so they
so
went out.
Week.
Yeah, so this week starts at Long Beach is effectively screwed for the next week and a half because with the Grand Prix coming right after that. But yeah, Formula Drift season starts this year. It's going to be, I think, probably as the way things look, probably the biggest of the history of Formula Drift. So,
wow.
A lot of new cars, a lot of teams, a lot of new sponsors.
How did the LA Auto Show thing work out with the
Amazing.
Formula Drift? Because it didn't look like that much room when they were setting it up
it,
where
it,
they were
it
doing
wasn't.
It. But then I saw when it was done and actually happening live, and it looked awesome.
Yeah, the drivers, I mean, I would put a drift driver up against any Formula One driver as far as skill set any day of the week. I mean, it's
totally different skill set.
Yeah,
though.
Different skill set again, but it, like it's still the same level of precision and impressiveness. I mean, to be able to have that level of control that we, for those who don't know, like the LA Auto Show had basically was like a, I don't know, like a small area with a planter in the middle of it, and they were you know they were drifting around this area that like you know I probably couldn't drive a car.
Yeah.
You know, around without hitting something.
It would
and
have
these
been a
guys are,
nice golf
know,
cart track.
Yeah, and you know the city of LA was nice enough to you know be able to permit it and let them do it and you know throw smoke all throughout the city and make a lot of noise for a couple of weekends here
it
and there.
Was awesome.
But it went amazing. So there were.
Did people like it too? Because that's a crowd pleaser, right?
Oh,
the
yeah,
Formula
yeah,
Drift.
Yeah, it went really really well.
Good.
It was because it was nobody had ever seen anything like that at the auto show. So the idea the LA Auto Show brought this year was like they wanted to do. I mean. Auto shows have taken a dive between COVID and everything else going on. Like it's the same basic thing. You can get a lot of the information you get at the auto show on, you know, online now. And but the idea the LA Auto Show wanted to do is say, okay, let's make it a little bit more interactive. So there were a lot of, you know, get in the car and drive around. And now with electric cars, you can do that stuff inside where you couldn't do a lot of that before. And they had the space, so they were really focusing on making it an experience again. You know, learn about the cars, get to, you know, and yeah, you get to sit in the car and see it's neat and touchy-feely and all that kind of stuff like that, which is fantastic for those that like the auto show. But, you know, they wanted to bring to the table things that nobody had seen before in the auto show, and no other auto show in the country is doing it. And they're, and you know, we're going to be involved. ID Agency is going to be involved again this year. And,
oh, excellent.
And the early talks, you know, the auto show wants to even bring it harder this year and bigger. So they're going to really set the tone for all the auto shows.
The auto show in general was pretty impressive, I thought, because you know, it's like everything you said. Nobody
yep.
really. It's hard to get people out
yeah.
these days. When I was a kid, it was always like, oh, this is neat, the touchability, but it would be really cool to
yeah,
drive around or get a ride. Now the that one room that had all of the crazy.
All the
it was like a roller coaster.
And Ford and the interaction stuff with Dodge.
All the way up into the rafters yeah. of the fucking convention center.
I mean, Subaru brought out a playpen with puppies, and they were you know they had their puppy donation area that was there. I mean, nobody's ever done that kind of stuff in years before.
That was the most impressive booth there, in my opinion.
The
Subaru
booth. Oh,
created
God.
An entire world where
yeah,
you felt
Swiss
like
Family Robinson.
It was with the suspension yeah. bridge and everything. But you felt like you were in Utah or something.
Yeah.
yeah. or Moab.
I mean, and to be able to bring that, I mean, we had none of the auto shows had ever done that kind of stuff before. So
everyone's using those digital screens now, it seems, to their advantage. Everyone's like, oh, you just bring it in and you create an environment. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it, but it was pretty cool to see that it was, Subaru one was good.
This year will be even bigger. And now all the other auto shows have to try and catch up and figure out on their own, but it'll be good. It'll be good.
The Cars and Coffee thing? Do that again?
Yep, but we're trying to figure out a way to expand it one step better. And my idea to the auto show was earlier this year, and they're trying to figure out how to do it, is to, in partnership with Avance, to be able to bring in the Cars and Coffee and shut the auto show down for either like at night, have the last hour of the auto show be just for the people that are involved with Cars and Coffee or just the people that are involved at Avance, and basically have the show to yourself.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. So, you know, maybe earlier in the morning, do an hour before it opens, or keep it open an hour after and make a kind of a mixer out of it or something like that. But we'll do something like that. But we'll do the Cars and Coffee again.
I think it was fun and everybody who went had a great time. It almost seemed like people didn't know about it, like the word.
It was first year out, and again, you know, the auto show, your preconceived notion of what it is, nobody expected that to happen
at
all. So they weren't looking for it. But now that it's there, we've got, you know, videos and pictures of what happened, and we can promote it a little bit better of this is what we did last year, and, you know, find some bigger partners to, you know, to come in and bring it out. And
because we had a great time.
We also split it between 2 days because the idea at first was to try and have it themed two different kind of, like, bring some cars in one day and some cars the other day. So we'll make it bigger and just do one day and just focus on one. Okay. You know, that way we're not splitting, you know, the crowd and just making it one big special day. So, you know, they're trying to make it so on the weekends there's something going on every day, you know, like again, Drift one day and, you know, Cars and Coffee another day and stuff like that. So there'll be something going on like almost every day special like that.
That's one thing that was interesting this year was there was incentive to go a couple times because things were changing up or
something
wasn't
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something different. And that's, you know, they were really smart about, you know, with having such a lull in the auto shows over the years prior. Because even before COVID, like, it was kind of still getting a little stale.
And is it because we all have access online now? We can just see everything. Kind of the information comes to us. We don't have to go there anymore.
I mean, you used to go there and you'd walk home with a bag full of brochures and you'd stick them on your wall. You'd get to read through it. And now, you know, a lot of that stuff is you can do it online. I mean, people are buying cars online, just having them delivered to their house, or even test driving them.
Yeah, the idea that we'd go home with paper is pretty antiquated, isn't it?
So it's.
But that's, so that's we but used. That's, I used to look so forward to that. Yeah. I'd look through all the brochures. Some of them gave posters that you'd put up.
Yeah, you know, where there'd be a, you know, some sort of celebrity in the booth that you could meet, and that was the other reason you were there, or something like that.
So I hung my bag up once. I can't remember what the bag was, but the bag was something. So I hung my bag on the wall.
Yeah, you hung the bag up.
What a nerd.
There was always free stuff. You know, maybe somebody was giving away a Hot Wheel. Maybe somebody was giving away stickers. I mean,
stickers. Car cleaning products, rags.
Sample products of all kinds of things. Keychains were big back in the day. I mean, I didn't even have keys. But I had keychains.
Yep.
So
those lanyards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All the you know. So it's stuff like that that we all grew up with. But now, you know,
trick or treating for adults with the auto show stuff.
Yeah. For car kids. But we did. I remember, and I think I don't know if I talked about this last time, but like the Lamborghini dealer in Orlando that was one of the oldest Lamborghini dealers in the country. They would come to Tampa because that was, you know, the closest big show. They would come to Tampa every year, and I would go there, and I'd bother the guys in the booth, you know, because I wanted to sit in the Lamborghinis. I wanted to talk about the Lamborghinis because I was a, you know, geeky car kid.
How old were you at that point?
10, 12.
Okay, cool.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Perfect. And there was this one guy, his name was Monty Patterson, and he was a sales guy at the time, and then ended up, he was with the company the entire time. He ended up as a GM. And my mom had taken a picture of me and Monty and her in front of a Countach. And I had completely forgot about it. And then fast forward to when I got the job at Lamborghini, years into that job, my mom had gone through some stuff and found the picture of me. Mm. And now remember, now Monty's now the GM and I'm his regional rep.
Unbelievable.
And you know, my mom found the picture. We digitized.
And there's no way that this guy would remember that from that day. Right. Cause he probably had a million of those experiences.
But when I showed him the picture, all of a sudden he remembered that I would come and bother him every year. And he kept that picture. We digitized it and I gave him a printed copy of it. And he kept it in his office. And every time a kid would come into the dealership and do the same thing that I would do at the auto show, he'd be like, see this guy right here on the wall? He's like, he used to come and bother me at the auto show. And now he works for Lamborghini.
Wow.
I love that.
That's
so
badass.
You know, it's kind of crazy. Again, it goes back to, you know, you never know this industry. You never know who's going to come back.
That's cool.
You know, 20 years later that I was bothering him at the auto show, and now I'm his rep for Lamborghini, his after sales rep. So
I love it.
It's crazy.
Absolutely love it.
But yeah, so the auto shows are stepping their game up a lot this year, and the LA Auto Show is going to be no exception.
Is there anything else professionally we were supposed to talk about?
Probably not.
I wanted to talk about West Side Collector Cars, Torch, Formula Drift. I knew we had to talk about Hot Wheels. We definitely covered. Anything else we should talk about? I love seeing you. Like, I could literally just talk to you forever.
Yeah, we do when we hang out. So, I mean, it's
thanks for inviting us to your birthday, by the way, because that was a lot of fun doing that. Just watching you guys talk.
It's been a long time since we did like a birthday party, and I was like, and that was all Tannis. So she's like, we're doing something for your birthday. I was like, it's just a birthday. It's no big deal. She's like, nope, we're doing it. So I mean, she's been amazing, pushing me to keep my Cadillac. I wouldn't have the Cadillac back. So I bought that car back, you know, because she pushed me and knew how much I loved it. And,
wow.
And she, having a, so Harold Cleworth is a very well known famous automotive artist. He's had displays up at the Peterson. He's done a lot of the Pebble Beach posters and things like that. Harold had penned over the years. And she was a client of hers in the real estate industry, and she had kind of known him through her industry. And she knew but she didn't realize the level of, how important he was. And then when I bought the Cadillac back one year, she commissioned him to do a painting of my Cadillac. And so now I'm forced to keep the car for life because I have this. And then to follow it up, my mom, again, who's a stained glass artist, made me a stained glass window of the Cadillac.
Of the Caddy.
Very similar. And I have the shrine of my Cadillac, from there. And my friend Imran back in Orlando found a die-cast version of the Cadillac, which, funny enough, the same Cadillac that was in Reservoir Dogs. The only real 65 Caddy diecast they ever made was a spinoff from Reservoir Dogs, and
it's supposed to be the movie car.
The movie car.
Oh, hilarious!
But it was like in this off color, off white cream color, which is what the color was in the movie. Well, Imran works at this place called Ultimate Auto.
They painted it for you.
Not only painted it, fully customized it. Like, he took this thing apart and he sent me the build pictures that it took him and his guys like a month. They took it apart, sprayed it BASF white.
Oh my
God. Like, went through his one guy, took the whole thing apart and lowered the suspension on it so that when it sat there, like, the tires were lowered so it looked like it was on airbags. I mean, he did a little like a custom license plate for
it. Probably put the right wheels
Caddy
on it and everything.
I mean, it was insane, and I've never to this day had anybody like go through that extent of making me a present like that. But now I have this shrine of all of these like little Cadillac things that I've had. So it's kind of neat.
You bring up Tannis, and as much as I love you, I have to tell you,
it's okay if you like
so
her better. We all
awesome.
Do. Yeah.
I just really, really relate to her. Like, we have some weird idiosyncrasies about each other.
Specifically, her and him have, with anxiety issues and things like that. Like, you guys have a bond that even I don't have with her. So you and I can relate to having to live with one of these. And, and you two can relate to having,
It seems like our strengths are our strengths and our weaknesses are our weaknesses.
It's funny, because the first time she met you, she came back, she's like, I really like him. She's like, he gets me.
Yeah. And it's very few and far between for people to get us, because we do feel very weird. Wow.
So,
anyway.
It's very cool.
Good stuff.
It's a strange world that we live in. It's a very small world to be able to, interact with people like that and relate. So, kind of crazy.
Canada Mike, how we doing? We good?
Oh, I mean, we're great. I just love the whimsy. I love, I think one of the things that I love about this community that you guys have built is that it's filled with people who dream about stuff to the point where they actually immerse themselves in it and make a career out of it. And I love that. Vinny, I love the Lamborghini story. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was.
With the picture, that's badass.
Yeah, it's a cool story. It is. And, unfortunately, Monty passed away. He was a chain smoker like you wouldn't believe. And anybody that knows of him, and he's a legend in the world. He's been around the industry for, four decades or something insane. And he was a, top Lamborghini, sales guy. His dealer was literally one of the oldest dealers in the country, probably next to maybe Miami. In Longwood, Florida, or just outside of Orlando, you wouldn't think it. But, the gentleman that started it was Bentley, Rolls-Royce, and Lamborghini, in this little town just north of Orlando. And who the hell's going to do that? But
he's like, the money will come.
Yeah.
And it did.
But he did, and he kept it going. It's still there. Now it's gotten taken over by a bigger corporation when Peter got a little bit older. But, but again, like even there, like I've had friends, like the girl I knew that was the receptionist is now the general sales manager for McLaren.
Hilarious.
She's worked her way up from there. And her,
that says a lot about them, too, that people want to stay there.
And her husband was like he was washing cars when I first met him. They were dating, and now he's in the service department, high up on the chain there as well. And it's, again, it goes back to like seeing everybody grow throughout the industry and all stay friends. The good ones. We filter out the ones that shouldn't be through eventually. So
life has a way.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Life has a way of figuring that stuff out. Thank you for everything. Let us know when we can do a Good Vibes at Westside Collector Car Storage, because we're going to go scout the mountain tomorrow to see if we can maybe get back.
Yeah,
to Plan B.
Update on how the mountains are going and Newcomb's Ranch.
I went up last week on Thursday, but it was right after the snowstorm.
Yeah.
I was allowed to go some places I probably wasn't allowed to go.
Because you're you.
Yeah. They did, kind of. It sort of might have been that, yeah.
The unofficial mayor.
But I put the hazards on and drove real slow. That was right after the snowstorm. So there was snow everywhere up at Plan B. Plan B for us is Mill Creek Summit, which is on Angeles Forest Highway between Palmdale and 9 Mile. We're going to check it out again tomorrow, because if it's if it's not snow, whatever, and we can get to it, we'll go congregate there. And that's a place we used to use during the fires and sometimes when there's rock slides.
Have you ever seen it like that up there before? I mean, you've been
yes, but not where that happened. It happened like that further up, and that's why it's indefinitely closed between whatever it is, Islip Saddle and Big Pines, because of exactly that. There's a name for it. It's not just the water and erosion, but there's a name for it, like undercuts. They call it undercuts or something like that.
So it's all literally dangerous to even be up there at this point.
My personal opinion is, on the crest, let those guys do whatever they need to do to get us back in business as quickly as possible. That's my personal opinion. People are definitely still going up to Mount Wilson, but you just have to turn around and come back. You can't go any further.
Yeah.
And you can't go up to Mount Wilson.
It was the same
either.
When the fires happened, too. Like, they could only go so far because it was, they were worried about all of that.
Yes, but it wasn't an unstable existing environment. Yeah. Like, it's currently unstable, so the people who live beyond it, had to leave. The people who live at the Christian camp, they had to stop doing business and leave. They're all spattered about down here. Well, and they were out of water because their water thing collapsed from all the snow and, all of the things. Propane.
Crazy.
And the same thing with the Chileo folks. They just can't get in and out. So, it's a disaster. It will get fixed. I mean, they're in the process of it.
All
but I mean, you saw how that is. I'm guessing they have to drive something down into the earth where it's broken, backfill it all in, then stamp it all down, put some rock on it, then think about paving it, right? It's a lot of work.
We live in a world where anything is possible with enough time or money. And if you don't have one, you need more of the other.
And the good thing is there's plenty of material up there to work with. So it's not like they've got to truck dirt up from the bottom or whatever. They've got it placed all over from falls and spills and slides and everything.
It'll all return to normal someday.
Yeah.
Whatever normal is.
But in the meantime,
updates.
We've been very happy with, some different places have offered to host us, and we've had a great time, but it would be nice to, both support friends and also get back into the mountain. So let's do both of those things. So
I guess, like anything else, it doesn't matter, where we are as long as we're all together, right?
That's sort of what we've figured out.
Yeah.
I mean, so, once Newcomb's closed, we were kind of like, well, it's not about the burrito anymore, is it?
No, it was just about having a good time. So, very cool.
How do people stay in touch with all of the things that you are doing? Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram is probably, that seems to be the easiest with everybody else. It's VinnyRusso1, and then, the ID agency and Westside all have their own Instagrams that, whatever project we happen to be working on, whether it's a Legends tour or something for Rockstar or, ID's involved with LAFC. The caddy was actually, I got to get up. Today's the 4th. I've got 3 more days. So there's on the downtown on the corner. I loaned the car for a photo shoot for Angel City, the female football club.
Okay.
And so one of the players lives in my building, and they saw the car and hey, we're doing this new line of clothing. Can we use the car for a photo shoot? I was like, sure. And of course, it's pouring rain the day they decided to do it.
Always.
They're like, oh man, we're sorry, you can't bring that. I was like, I can bring the car. I was like, I don't care. It's not a show car.
At least it's not
wet.
A convertible. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get wet. But they ended up using a clip of the car with the air ride going up and down as part of the loop, and it's on the video screen across from the convention center. There's the LEDs that kind of wrap around the side of the building.
Yeah.
So if you the commercial, I guess, is what it really is for the their new clothing line is on there. And there's a maybe a 3 or 4 second clip of my car, you know, in there. And
so are you gonna get the car there and then get the idea right is I gotta
get the car there. So you can see some of the pictures. Is one of the girls who was super cool was sitting in the car, and there's a couple of pictures of her wearing the jersey in the car, and doing that.
I'm the kind of nerd who digs at like people are. These days, it's hard to impress anybody. Yeah. But when I was a kid, and there weren't things like that where you could just pipe it up there, the first one was called the Jumbotron, and it was in Times Square.
Yeah.
It was like sponsored by Sony or whatever. The Jumbotron.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work on the TV show News Radio, and we did a whole new opening all around different actual places in Manhattan, and one of which was right there in Times Square. And it was very cool to have control over the Jumbotron for the 6 or 7 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it was that we had it, because it's all money, right? That's money up there. But to be there in Times Square with our camera controlling what's up there, it was neat
really
that we
surreal.
All got pictures in front of the being on the Jumbotron. Cool. But exactly what you're talking about. It's like, here we are, but there we are, but here we are, but there we are. So stupid.
Cool.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you guys too.
Thank you for having me. Canada Mike, you've got a good guest on the show this Friday?
Glenn Borders, who was the head of special effects for The Late Show with David Letterman. He was in the special effects department and the head of it for about 10 years, but he was there for 21. He's on.
Ooh, 21. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congrats.
Thanks.
Let's see. Tomorrow we're going to go pick up your new glasses and then go scout the mountain.
Cool.
And then Thursday we have doctor stuff with you. But then Emmy Hall and Lynn Woodward are on the show together, which is cool for me because it'll be a reunion because I met them two together doing Matt's podcast one day when Zach
wasn't
there.
Formula D because she was there today.
Who?
Lynn.
She was?
Yeah.
I will do just that.
So.
We good?
Yeah.
Mike, you good? All right.
We love
everybody.
Love you guys.
Nice seeing you, Mike.
You too, buddy.
We love everybody. Please love one another, and we'll see you out there.
Yeah. Where did you get this music? You had
a free library.
Seriously? White guy that you